This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong and you're locked in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. Today on the show, we'll be talking about a career in football, but of a different type. This week on the show, Lukman Hazik, better known as Fenry, who's an avid FIFA player, joins us in the studio ahead of his trip to Manchester for the Esports Champions League. He's 22 years of age and only 2 years in his career. However, he has surpassed even his expectations. He's currently number one in Malaysia and ranked 96 in the world with multiple FIFA championships to his name. He also became the first Southeast Asian player to compete in the recently concluded FUT Champions Cup in Singapore. We start off by asking about his experience at that tournament.
It was very fun and very good experience for me. I met a lot of pro players around the world. Some of them are my idols, the one that I always want to meet, the one that I adore from home. So when I meet them personally, I talk to them and then they treat me equally. So it was a very good experience. I was very happy that I'd be able to compete with them, to play against them, and then to show that I can compete with them. They are very impressed with me too, and they said they want to meet me again.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, it's a very good experience for me.
It's something, isn't it, you know, idolizing your heroes growing up, you know, getting into the game and then suddenly meeting and being almost on the same level as them. There really is something there, right?
Yeah, it's very satisfying, I should say, because when I first watched FIFA Esports, I thought, wow, they are very good. I hope I can meet them, I can play with them. And then after years of grinding, years of practicing, I managed to achieve my dream to compete with them. And hopefully I can keep on playing against them.
Did you beat them?
Yeah, some of them.
Very nice. Tell me about the results from that competition.
So I got knockout in the Swiss round. On the last round, I got 2-3 results. So it was a very close match. I almost beat my opponent. He was from Spain. So it was very tough. I missed a lot of chances, a lot of clear chances. Luck was not on my side. I clearly dominated my opponent. So it was very frustrating, but I accept the result because it's part of the game.
It's part of the game, right?
So losing is part of the career too.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I guess I just have to learn from my mistake and keep on grinding and so that I can play again.
And your career is not one that's been very long, 2 years. And you really, you know, reached this achievement. Tell me a bit about the early days. Is it hard to launch esports career?
Yeah, when I first entered FIFA esports, generally, my friend, he played Malaysian Cyber Games, I think around at 2017 edition. So he won the second place. So I played against him every day. I go to his house. Like, he also the first one to introduce me to PS3 FIFA. So
Friend to thank for everything.
Yeah, the friend to thank everything. Yeah, shout out to him, Imran. So my friend is very supportive. He said, "Hey, you are playing with me. I know your level. So why don't you try to compete too?" But at that time, I was in matriculation program. So I was very busy for that 1 year. So I can't focus totally on FIFA. So I told him that maybe I will try a few games for now, but I will focus on FIFA after my matriculation program. So the plan is, after the matriculation program, that was the release of FIFA 17. In the beginning of FIFA 17, there was a quite big tournament organized by GameSpawn and Astro EGG. So that was, I tried my luck and Alhamdulillah, I got first place. Yeah. And I won 3,000 ringgit.
You won 3,000, exactly.
Yeah, and my first of big tournament. So
how did your parents react, you know, when you're going back with that 3K? Like, "Look, mom, I play games and I brought back $3,000. You happy with me?"
They were very surprised because they know I rarely take anything seriously.
Right.
I'm just a happy-go-lucky guy, carefree. So when they saw I bring the mock check that time, 3,000 ringgit, they were like, "Whoa, so you are really good at this game. That you were playing only. That you were playing for fun." So at the time, I know that this is the right thing for me because I love competing against players, against competitive FIFA players. So I want to do it more. So after my first tournament, I was hungry for more tournaments. So I tried few more tournaments in Malaysia. And at that time, I was surveying and researching about the FUT tournament, because FIFA 17 was the first time EA used FUT mode, the FIFA Ultimate Team, as the competitive mode. Okay. So,
can you just for listeners who doesn't know what FUT is, can you just explain?
Okay, so like everyone knows, FIFA is a football game. So in football game, you usually use your favorite team like Manchester City, Manchester United, Real Madrid, or Barcelona. So you play against your friend using that team, but in FUT, the FIFA Ultimate Team mode is very different compared to using a team. You have to create your own team around players around whole world. Like my team, I have Cristiano Ronaldo, I have players from Barcelona like Messi, Neymar from PSG, and I also can use the legendary iconic players that have retired, someone like Ronaldo, Nazario. I got Thierry Henry, Ruud Gullit, Patrick Vieira.
So it's almost like drafting your own team.
Yeah, drafting your own team.
But you have to grind the hours and put in the sweat and tears to get the best players,
yes,
right? Okay, so from once you started playing FUT?
In FIFA 17, I was watching the competitive scene. I watched some of the pro players, and I was like, wow, this is very interesting. They are very good and they can use good players. Like some players are very expensive and you can get them just by grinding. You have to spend your own money. So
that's how the games company makes money.
Yeah, that's how that's how company make money, microtransaction business.
Yeah.
So I watched them, and then I thought I have to try the weekend league mode. The weekend league mode is like the qualifying mode. Like how you want to qualify to the the live event, you have to play the weekend league mode.
Okay.
So I tried a few games in weekend league mode, but unfortunately at that time, we have no servers in Southeast Asia, so it was hard to qualify with the connectivity issues. But
so you had to connect to Japan or something?
Yeah, connect to Japan. Right. And then mostly the Asia players at that time are from Arab, from Australia, New Zealand. So it was very tough for players from Southeast Asia specifically. So I thought 17, okay, maybe for now, I'm going to use FIFA 17 as a researching years. Like, I try a few tactics, new tactics, like, because before this I played casually, so it was very different when you try to make this as a professional thing. So I tried the meta, or what esports scene call as meta. It's like the most effective way to play the game.
Meta, yeah.
Yeah. So I use the meta way, like the meta players. I discard my personally favorite players, like some players like I personally like, such as Kevin De Bruyne, right. Example, he's my favorite player, but I can't use him in the competition scene because he's just simply not good enough in the game for the highest level. So yeah, I have to discard my personal affection towards some players.
That's when you know that things getting serious.
Like at first I have a policy that I will never use United players. I don't like Manchester United. So, but I have to, after I qualify, I have to, yeah, Pogba is good, so I have to use him, whether I like him or not. Right? So, yeah, that's the difference between competitive and casual scene. So, I tried FIFA 17, I tried against players, and then at that time also play the local tournaments. So at FIFA 18, I promised myself and I promised to my family and friends that I'm going to qualify to one of the live events, because that's the dream, that's the goals. And I set a very high bar for myself because I know it's very hard. Like I said, Asia regions are not the main target for
the minority,
EA.
Right.
We are in the minority group, so it's very hard to get. And at that time, they are using the format where they choose the top 64 players in the world in 1 month. So November 2017, that was like 2 months after the release of FIFA 18. And that was the official qualifying month to qualify to Barcelona. So at that time, you have to play 160 games in 1 month. At the first week, I got 40 over 40. That was the flawless record. The first and only Malaysian to get the 40-40 record. So I was like, this not impossible. I think if I can keep it up, and so
you can do it, yeah.
I can qualify. So I tried. And then in the second week, I got 39. I only lost one. So I was at that time the 25, the 25th player, top 25 in the world.
And they'll pick 64.
And they pick 64. So I was like, okay, so there's only 2 weeks left. I have to keep up the momentum. But unfortunately, in the week three, I tweak a lot of things because there are new patches in FIFA. So I have tried new things. So at that time, I got 36 over 40. I lost four games in a week. And from 25, my rank dropped to like 80.
Right.
So I was very nervous because it's very tough to break into top 64 again. The last week is very crucial for me. I sit down and discuss with my friends and which player should I buy, how should I play this game. Right, so last game is very crucial.
Wow, it's almost like you have a backroom staff with your friends.
But mostly my friends.
Yeah.
So last week, I got 39 over 40, which is very decent.
Yeah.
And I got placed 57 in the world at that time.
Mm.
So I qualified to the...
Yeah, and this was the FIFA Champions Cup, right, in Barcelona. Tell me about the experience, man, going to Barcelona. How was the results from there?
I was very happy when I found out that I will be going to Barcelona because they haven't announced it yet when I qualified. But when they announced the venue will be at Barcelona, I was very excited because I got to go to a place where the greatest football player of all time play, Lionel Messi.
Of course.
I really like him. It's like my favorite player. He's very special. So I thought I can meet him, but it was quite impossible because Barcelona contracted under my FIFA rival, that is PES.
How's the results?
So in the competition time, I got that was my first experience. I got
at a live show, right?
Yeah, at a live show.
But were you blown away by anything? And you know, I didn't know FIFA is this big. You know, when you got
I was very surprised because the venue was Palau Sant Jordi. It's like the official basketball venue for the Barcelona basketball team. So when I arrived at the setup, I was very shocked and very surprised because it was very professionally set up. I met a lot of pro players. Compared to me, they are very used to the scene, to the situation. And that was my first time. I was like, wow, this is very cold. It's very cold too because it was raining.
Right.
And I didn't wear a lot of clothes. So
right.
they are used to it. So there's few things that I learned from Barcelona. Then I met the pro players. They were quite surprised because they never heard about Malaysia. So when they heard there's a pro player from Malaysia, they were like, wow, so Malaysia has their own pro player too.
Right. Cool, we do, man. It's true.
Yeah, it's true.
So before this whole Barcelona experience, before going to Singapore, you know, winning 153 games out of 160, you're actually in your school football team, you're playing centre-back, and you were the captain too. What are some of the lessons you can take from, you know, that whole real-life football experience and put it into your FIFA career?
I'm more of a player that use my brain instead of my body.
Sure.
Because for centre back, you have to anticipate when you want to tackle, when you want to intercept the ball. I like seeing how my team attack in football. Right. Like my centre back,
watch from behind,
and you see your teammate attack. So I have a few game plan. Then I sometimes discuss with my coach how we should attack, how we should utilize our players that we have. So it was very interesting to adopt football,
FIFA,
real football to FIFA. Like my playing style is counter-attacking football. I believe that counter-attacking football is very good in every situation. From there, I also started to get interested in football stats, like things that are related to stats. So I believe that in football, we have to create chances, but we have to create clear-cut chances instead of just, you know, shoot from anywhere, right? Or crossing, right? So the Pep's way of football, he emphasized on creating clear-cut chances. So in my football also, I prefer to score beautiful goal instead of just shoot and hope. So it was very tough because in football you have 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But in FIFA you have like 6 minutes for half.
12 minutes basically. Right.
12 minutes to execute your game plan. So yeah, it's very tough. You have to be fast and be precise in everything that you do in FIFA.
That was Luqman Haziq, also known as Fenry. as we've been exploring the niche but growing industry of esports. Coming up, more of that conversation as we talk training, we talk game fatigue, and also figure out the ideal way to grow the industry. Stay tuned, my name's Daryl Ong, and this is Bar None, right here on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, my name's Daryl Ong, and you're locked in to Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world. On the show today, we've been speaking to the number one FIFA player in Malaysia and ranked 96th in the world, Lukman Fenri Hazik, who ahead of his trip to Manchester in the Esports Champions League have been speaking to us on playing FIFA as a career, the stigma surrounding esports, as well as lessons from a real-life football that can be adopted in the virtual game. You've started FIFA, you know, since, like you said, PlayStation 1, but your career only kicked off about 2 years ago during FIFA 17 and 18, yeah. Right? It's different from, you know, other esports games, you know, because FIFA, EA releases a new game every year. It's kind of like you have to learn again, right? Mm. Every year, they new different mechanics they add to the game and that stuff. How have you adapted to those changes in the game? And, you know, is there any changes that, you know, fits your play style?
So every year, EA, the publisher, they introduce new mechanism. Like for now, in FIFA 19, they introduce the time finishing, where you have to time your shoot. So it's very hard to score goals. And then they also introduce way to control your goalkeeper manually, which is very game changing and very broken.
Right, it's illegal, right?
It's illegal. Like how can goalkeeper move from left to right in 1, 2, 3 seconds, right? So it's very tough at first. Like a lot of players complain about the changes, but as a pro player, even though we complain, but we still have to adapt. It took me 1 to 2 months to really master the new meta, what they call it. After 2-3 months, I managed to master the time finishing and the goal moving.
Two, three months. Playing every day. That's a long time for a pro.
It's actually late, very late. Because
imagine like a casual player. You'll never be able to perfect it, right?
Some of my casual friends, they simply turn off time finishing. Because
I turn it off.
Because it's very hard. Yeah, it's very hard to time it every time to perfection. But that's the difference between the pros and the casual players, because that time finishing can be the game changer for you when you are in a very tight situation.
Hmm. When you go for tournaments and, you know, you have that list of opponents that you're going to face, how much homework do you do beforehand? You know, you watch their Twitch streams, you know, watch their replays, that sort of thing. Yeah, basically, how much research do you do before going to a tournament?
So every day I spend at least 1 to 2 hours watching the pro players play. Some of my favorite pro players, they stream or they even upload their videos, their gameplay videos. So I learn from them. Like, I copied one player's play style and then I copied another one and then I implement to my game style. Mm. So in the end, I create my own game style based on people's own gameplay. Yeah.
So you truly, a little bit from everyone.
Okay. Because they have found some way to monopolize the meta. And so when I copy them, I also add some of my knowledge. So there is something different and something extra. And they also were surprised to see I can do something different.
Okay.
Because, yeah, then they are interested to learn to me. Like when Singapore, I tried new things. And then they was very surprised. They said, oh, I don't know, you can do this in this game, right? I said, yeah, you can.
Happy when you do it, bocor rahsia lah.
Bocor rahsia. So
what to do?
Very tough lah. So you have to copy every day.
You have to refresh it all the time.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about your training schedule. You know, how often do you train? For how many hours?
Since I'm a student, I still study. So I have very limited time every day, daily. So like, I have like 6 hours free time per day, but I have other things to do too, like my assignment, my homework. So it's very tough as a student to juggle the time. So but I try my best to slot in to at least 2-3 hours per day so that I can keep up my skill and my momentum. Because in FIFA, if you don't play at least 1 week, will lose a lot of skills because they need constant practice and constant grind. I try my best to balance it, but it's very tough as a student. But that's the challenge.
Do you find yourself now, you know, you're a big City fan, I'm sure you still keep in touch with their games. Do you find when you watch real football these days that you watch it differently?
Yeah, because there are a lot of tactics used right now because football, modern football is very interesting right now. We have a lot of innovative coaches like Pep Guardiola. Then we have also in Liverpool, Jurgen Klopp, he has his own pressing style. We call it Gegen pressing. It's very, it's what we call high pressing all over the pitch. When I watch the football, I like, wow. So pressing is also relatable in FIFA because when in FIFA, you can also do high pressing, but not as much as Liverpool. But yeah, when I watch football right now, I feel more interested in why the managers use that formation, use that tactic, use that players, because in every week they change the lineup because they want to... Because every player have their own specialties. Mm. Some have pace, some have skills, some have better passing. So every week, when I watch football, I see they change players. They did not keep the same starting 11 because they adapt to their opponent. Because this team they play, their opponent play low block. So when how to counter low block, you use players that have pace. So it's relatable to FIFA because in FIFA, pace is very important. Mm. And then also skills because to beat the opponent one-on-one. Yeah, so playing FIFA really opened my mind about football. And when I watch football, I was like, oh, can't wait to use this in FIFA too.
Oh, right. Oh, so you're thinking about that. Not about the game, but I can't wait to take this formation and use it in FIFA. Interesting. Talking a bit about game fatigue, you were quoted as saying that there's no point of playing the game if you're not having fun. And I'm sure in your experience, there are times where it's not fun at all, especially in most those moments when you're grinding, trying to get those coins, right? How do you take yourself out of that situation and put your mindset in the right setting again to be able to get through that?
Compared to traditional sports, esports, we have fatigue too, but what we call it, mental fatigue is more stressful compared to physical. Like, if physical fatigue, you can just sleep and then tomorrow you'll be fine. But mental fatigue is very tiring. You can be very stressful in 1 week. In the whole weekend, can be very moody. So it will affect your relationship with your friends, with my friends, with my family. But yeah, in my career, I always believe that even though I don't have a lot of time, but I at least try to spend some of my free time with my friends and my family because they are the one who will keep on supporting me. Mm. They know my situation. They know how to make me feel better if I fail, if I'm stumbling at some point. So they know how to comfort me. So that's very helpful. So my advice is in esports, you have to find the right circle, right friends that know how to motivate you, that know how to inspire you so that you can keep on grinding even though it's very stressful. Mm.
You're lucky enough to have, you know, people around you that actually support your career, but many other people aspiring, you know, gamers and wanting to make it a career don't have that same group of people. Do you find that, you know, in Malaysia now there's still that stigma against video games as a career is still very strong?
Yeah, it's very strong, but right now, after the government has exposed esports to the people, they are very more open compared to previous years. Like last 2-3 years, I find esports very small. We are a small community, especially FIFA. It's a very small community, but we are very tight. So when people right now, they are exposed to esports, they know what is esports right now. They know how esports can generate income.
Whether they like it or not is a different story, right? But the awareness.
The awareness is very important. So right now, I'm very happy that the governments are spreading awareness to the people. So when they are aware about esports, so the stigma is becoming more positive, I think. It's less very harmful.
Okay. I think that's kind of true because the acceptance of esports globally is definitely taking off. Like, for example, you have talks of esports was in the Asian Games, right? Yeah. Recently, also the Olympics, there's talk about putting esports in there.
So you could very well get Malaysia's first Olympic gold medal, you know, if you qualify.
Hopefully.
What do you think about, what are your thoughts on this, about esports going into this traditional sporting tournaments?
The introduction of esports in traditional sports like Olympic, Sukan Si, it's very interesting because esports is very different compared to traditional sports where traditional sports, you have one specific game, one specific sports. Like football, you only have football. But in, for example, in FIFA gaming, football gaming, we have two games like PES and FIFA. So right. It's very different. Like in Sukan Si, 90, there will be no FIFA. There will be Mobile Legends and Dota, for example, right? So it was quite frustrating because I really hope that FIFA will be introduced as one of the game.
Although this is a great first step, you know, for esports athletes to see very any form of esports going into.
It was very, very, it's a good news because esports people still think that they are just, you know, playing games, right? So it's not something that can be made as career, but when we put esports same as the traditional sports, people will be opening their eyes and they will be more aware that esports are getting more attention, getting taken seriously by everyone, especially by the highest sporting body.
I have many friends that actually play FIFA, but they are not into football at all. Like they don't know the teams. They can't be bothered with real life football, but they play FIFA. Do you think them watching your pro scene and seeing how competitive it is, do you think that can bring them to watch real football, in your opinion?
Yeah, like
can it be the bridge?
Actually, I think it can because for example, I have a few acquaintances from America. So as you know, America, they are not very interested in football.
Soccer.
They even call it soccer, right? When I asked some of them, do you watch football soccer? But they said no because soccer is not one of the big sports in their country, in US. So I was surprised. So how do you know which players that you're gonna use if you don't watch them every week? But they said, yeah, FIFA made me interested in football, like in soccer. Usually I watch American football. I play NFL. So when they play FIFA, they know about Manchester United, about a team from France. They have from Barcelona, Real Madrid, right? So they were very interested in football. So I think FIFA can be a good bridge between gaming and the real football.
Lots of football clubs today, Wolfsburg, PSG, Man City, West Ham, right, are now opening up esports sections of their clubs. So you're basically hiring FIFA players to play for their football team, which 5 years ago, if you told me this, I wouldn't have believed you at all. But it is happening today. What are your thoughts on this, and what's the impact on the global, not just FIFA, but the esports scene?
It's a dream for every pro FIFA players to play for one of the big football teams like PSG, Manchester City. So when they were recruiting new players, it was a very interesting option for pro players because before this, they only play under professional organization.
Yeah.
So, or they even play as a free agent. So it's very tough for them to sustain their career because they have to survive every day. They need salary. They need monetary support. But when the football team who are more established and have a lot of fun, they were interested in football and FIFA esports. So it was a very welcoming news for pro players. And I see a lot of new pro players. They got contract with football team. They are very well cared. So they can have more focus on their career because football team, I heard they have their, even esports, they have their own nutritionist. So it was very interesting. Like nutritionist usually for sports athlete, right?
Yeah.
So in sports league, you have to take care of your eating. So you have to exercise too. It's not like just playing game every day. You have to exercise so that you are more focused every day. You can be more focused. You are healthy. You can play games every day.
I think this helps not just the industry to grow, but for you guys, the players as well. You guys get the salary every month. If you get hired, right? So it's an industry that's almost self-sustaining.
Self-sustaining.
Bringing it back to home and talking about our Malaysian community, the Malaysian FIFA scene, you teamed up with Youth and Sports Minister YB Saddiq for a friendly game or FIFA, right? And Syed Saddiq, obviously a big proponent, a big advocate of, you know, esports. He wants to grow the industry here in Malaysia. Through your talking with him and your conversations, are you hopeful for the future of Malaysia in esports?
YB Syed Saddiq is very supportive toward esports. Like, we know about his passion. He really has spread a lot of awareness to people about esports. So when I talked with him, I was very surprised with his knowledge about esports, because a lot of older generation, they want to learn about esports, but they don't know much about it because it's not their thing, because this is a new thing for the modern generation, right? So YB Syed Saddiq know a lot of things about esports. When you ask him, he knows, he can answer it. So I was very surprised. And then when I heard about his plan for esports in Malaysia, I was very hopeful, because esports is a self-sustained industry. So, you know, it's very hard to survive alone. Mm. You need support. But right now, when government shows a lot of support, in terms of moral support, it's very supportive towards esports athletes, so that they can focus on their career and that they can give their best for the country. So it gives more incentive for the esports athletes to take their
for sure
self to the next level.
That's the players. On the fan side, the audience, what's the best way to grow the community?
I think we need to give more exposure. We need to give more talk about the esports, because right now, the people, they don't know what is esports. They thought esports just gaming. Esports not gaming. Esports the tournament mode of gaming. So, like, I play game for fun. Few games, other games, like Pokemon. I play Fortnite for fun. It's not an esport for me, because I don't have any intention to go pro level. But like my FIFA is an esports for me, because I have to compete against the pro players. I have a career in FIFA. So it's very different. So people perception about esports and gaming are very different, and we need to spread awareness about that, because when they learn that esports and gaming are different, they be more open to join esports and to accept esports as something new in our life.
Retirement in esports, typically not just FIFA, but across all the other games, about 28, 29, pushing it 30, right? What's your plans after? Have you thought about that yet?
Yeah, like right now I'm finance student. So I have my backup plan, which is if I feel like I want to retire in FIFA, but hopefully I can play until 30, 35 at strap, if
still,
I stretch.
There's still 8 years. Long time
yeah,
to go.
Yeah, still a lot of time. But my plan after, if I retire, I want to play a more relaxing game, more relaxing sports, like the game that use brain instead of hand, instead
right,
of
right, direction. Right.
Because FIFA, you have to be fast. You have to press the button.
Reflexes.
Reflex, your free reflex. So as you grow old, your reflex will deteriorate. So it's very, very tough. So like game like Pokemon, like Tetris.
It's more relaxing.
Yeah, it's right? More relaxing, yeah. But I also interested in coaching new generation. Like I plan, because I see a lot of potential in our country. But they need to be rightly, because the process of development is very important. Like from 17, 18, that's the crucial part, the crucial age. Because if you didn't focus enough, you will never succeed at the highest stage.
Wow. Like real football.
Yeah.
17, 18
yeah,
is 17, the important phase,
it's
right?
Important.
What are your plans for 2019? I know next week you're going to go to Manchester.
Oh, yeah. Next week I'm going to Manchester for the E-Champions League organized by FIFA and UEFA. So, yeah, my plan is to qualify to the playoff of FIFA E-World Cup, the biggest stage of FIFA gaming. So, FIFA E-World Cup, the winner will get to go to the best award, where it's like the Ballon d'Or, where Cristiano Luka Modric won it this year. So, that's the biggest target I want to meet. Footballers like Messi, because every year they are going to be there, Ronaldo,
right, yeah.
The gala, the best award. So yeah, FIFA World Cup is the biggest tournament, and I hope that I can qualify to the main event, because it's very tough. They need like 32 players, top 32 around the world from the ranking. So right now I'm 96 in the world. I still have a lot of things to do before I got to qualify to the main event. So I need to keep focused, to keep my focus, to keep on grinding, and hopefully I will win the next week tournament. Because if I win at least top 8, I think I'm guaranteed to enter the playoff.
That was Lukman Hazik, also known as Fenry, ranked 96 FIFA player in the world, who will be making his way to Manchester next weekend as part of the qualification campaign for his quest to reach the FIFA E World Cup this year. And with that, we come to the end of the show. If you'd like to check out the interview again, head over to our website www.bfm.my/Barnan. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can tweet us. We're at BFM Radio. And also don't forget that the best way to keep in touch with our latest updates is by downloading our app via Google Play and the App Store. My name's Darryl Ong. Thanks for listening. And do join us again next week on Bar None, the show that brings you through the ins and outs of the sporting world, only here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.